This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a nice little Friday. We'll be on for the next 5 hours now. Coming up in 14 minutes, Stephen Jones is going to join us, Cowboys COO. He'll join us and talk about Cowboys-Vikings coming up on Sunday Night Football and a lot of the really important topics going on. You can tell Chris Arnold's riding shotgun, planting the flag here, top of the hour.
Got you.
You have Jeff Cavanaugh.
Got you down.
Lucius Alexander, myself, Gavin Dawson, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, so we're pumped. You know, it's a Cowboys Friday. Plus Mavs tonight. Chris is already in his emceeing gear over there looking sharp with all the latest Mavs stuff on. But as we do every Friday, we open up with Cowboys predictions, at least on the football Fridays. And I'm going to have the Cowboys winning a great game between two NFC teams. And I'm actually going to go 31-24. As I was saying there during crosstalk, I think a lot of people are still looking at the Cowboys as the team that struggled, that it was 5-3. And I don't think that's who they really are. And I understand on paper that the Vikings match up really well and all that, but the Cowboys have had such great continuity and a winning formula, and now they're healthy. The defense has been getting incrementally better, some with a trade and some by just putting the best guys on the field. And I think all that begins to culminate to starting Sunday night with a touchdown victory, Jeffrey.
I go 27-24 Cowboys, which means that I am staying away from the line there. We're not going to mess with all that. We're going to just go ahead and let this game play out. I think it's two really good teams. And I'm with you on thinking that the Cowboys are better than their record says they be. Uh-huh. The addition of Michael Bennett helps. And I think just all of the outlying numbers of the season say that they are better than a 5-3 team. So I think the opponent is quite serious.
Yeah.
The Vikings are very, very good. But I think if the Cowboys play the way that they should play each week, that they win by a field goal.
And football is weird because we make these absolute statements and create these narratives off of a sample size in a game with a weird-shaped football that bounces strange ways.
Yep. And then a guy who catches it 92% of the time in a certain place doesn't catch it, and the other team catches it, and it's like, well, there it went. That's it.
And now that team's better, I guess, as as you follow the conversation. What do you think is going to happen, Chris?
I think they're going to be at home, and since the Vikings don't give up 30 points, they're going to win 29. The Cowboys are going to win 29-27.
Shots fired at Gavin's prediction.
No, Gavin's being real smart about it. But
just drop the mic.
It's going to happen sometime, but not tonight. Not Sunday night. I think that the Cowboys' defense has found their identity. Michael Bennett is the Tyrone Crawford that they thought they were going to have when the season started. Remember, Tyrone Crawford didn't even participate in training camp. And then he comes back, and those hips are bothering him, and he can't do anything. He's got surgery. He's out. Michael Bennett is a superior Tyrone Crawford who can play up and down the line. That's what they were missing. Plus, I think for some reason, they just lost their mojo along the way. The defense hadn't caught up to the offense. The offense came out on fire, and then the offense lost their way in October. And then the defense finally, I think, is clicking now. So with both sides clicking, and I'm talking about the health of the offense and the defense with the addition of Michael Bennett, I see them doing to Minnesota what Minnesota had been doing to everybody else they had beaten.
Over this last month or so while they were on that roll before the Kansas City game, and they were on a roll. Didn't Kirk Cousins win NFC Offensive Player of the Month?
Of the month?
Yeah, so.
And Dan Bennett was NFC Special Teams Player of the same month.
And
the
Dan
week,
Bailey.
Rather. And Dan Bailey. That's it.
What else? Bennett.
Oh, my goodness. Dan Bailey.
But, yeah, you know, I do think bad luck played a role. I think, you know, some misfortune played a role. And now the Cowboys, you know, I think the losing streak also got their attention. Dak Prescott took the team by the reins and said, hey, guys, you know, we haven't been practicing as hard as we need to be practicing. And, you know, we have two good games now. The Eagles actually were playing pretty good. The Cowboys, did they make them look bad? Was it all the injuries in the Eagles? And then, you know, the Giants game was a 19-point victory. So I might regret this. I might go on a rant like the current G-bag of the day, Carmen or Carmine out of Cleveland.
You won't get nothing from me.
Yeah, I don't think your cardio is set up that way, bro. My man might have some cardio on him.
Dude, he definitely has a set of pipes on him, and the G-bag of the day is coming up. But we're going to get into Stephen Jones coming up at 2:15. So I'm not sure exactly where the G-bag of the day is going to fall today, but what an epic rant by that that gentleman right there. How much did we learn about Amari Cooper today? Jerry Jones talked about him, says he feels like he's going to play. He was limited in the media portion. He was just kind of working off to the side doing physical therapy type of stuff. But I think we haven't learned anything negative about Amari Cooper. We're pretty much in the same situation we were yesterday as far as he's managing something. But Jerry said today if he was going to do a pre-draft physical, essentially, he'd get a clean bill of health. So I think whatever it is, it's like a bruise or swelling or something like that, it's not something structural that he's going to have to try to manage and then have surgery in the offseason or anything like that.
And he could change my prediction by himself. If he didn't play or if he tried to play, sure. But it turns out that he couldn't, then I would immediately flip to 27-23 Vikings.
You know, we talk every day at 6 about what's on 105 through thefan.com. And Amari Cooper, I did a list of players that if any one of them goes, your goals could be imploded.
Mm-hmm. And Dak.
I think it was Dak and Amari, but maybe just Amari if, you know, hashtag real backups in play.
Oh, sir, we're not doing that. We're not doing that today.
Well, you know, give me 4 seconds. It's gone now.
Explain.
You know, we'll move on from it.
No, explain.
But I do think, you know, as far as the people that are on the roster right now, there's only two that it applies to. To me, it's Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott. I think I agree with you, right?
That yeah.
Losing Amari is just such a detriment to winning.
Yeah, I wonder about Tyron Smith, but those two are no doubt the top two, for sure. 100%.
I mean, hey, you lose Tyron, it stinks, but you have another great tackle over there. You can leave on an island and help out the left side. Or if Lyle's out, now you can just help out the right side.
Are you leaving Zeke out of this mix because we have Tony Pollard?
Well, no.
It doesn't matter who his backup is. I'd leave Zeke out.
Because the Cowboys are like 3 times better passing the ball than running the ball, but they want to have their identity be running. So that's why I leave Ezekiel Elliott out of that.
I think Pollard's real good.
I think they might get better if they didn't have Zeke.
I think that's possible. Yeah, their offense might become more dynamic because they would be forced to pass on first down more. And you know, Pollard's not bad. You know, we got to give him some consideration.
Oh, it's fun. He broke out the stiff arm on him.
Mm-hmm. That was cool. Okay, the other big story, the Mavs are in action tonight. They're going to host the Knicks at 7:30. New York is 1-7. I'm going to stay away from a blowout call. I tried that the other night with the Magic, and that didn't come together. I was predicting blowout on Wednesday night. I was having fun on the show. But this is another opportunity where a game like that could develop over there at the AAC tonight.
It really could because both teams are young. The Knicks are a mess, but the Dallas Mavericks are young. And like I said, in their Orlando game, first half, Luka was trying some crazy passes that, you know, everybody wasn't ready for. So to me, you just don't know exactly what you're going to get, but I assume that they're going to win at the end.
Okay, now if you do want to be critical of the Mavs start in any way, I was reading a game preview of this and it was from the New York perspective, like, hey, do we have a shot? Mm-hmm. And they said one of the things you could look at would be that the Mavs schedule has been very kind. They've only played 2 games against winning teams so far.
Ooh, very Cowboyish.
Whoa. That's being subjective because Denver is normally a winning team. So you Portland, Denver,
they were counting
Lakers.
Portland's not a winning team right now.
Oh, that's something. Okay.
Yeah. So they were counting Denver and the Lakers, and they beat Denver, you know. But it's so early. The sample size is so small. I think they're going to be fine against winning teams. I think they'll be somewhere around 45 or 50% winning percentage against teams like that, which young playoff aspiring teams, you know, they struggle to go out on the road and beat those type of teams. But so far, the Mavs, I think, have done admirable. And Luka Doncic has had some really good defensive players that he's had to battle against. It's not like you're going out there and letting Luka run rampant against bums. You're getting like Gary Harris Jr., Kent Bazemore, Bradley Beal, you know, Danny Green, some really top perimeter defender type of guys trying to slow down Luka. And you know, he's averaging 27-9-10.
Nobody slows down to Luka. No,
and you know, what's so crazy with all that? They all know they've got the tape on him. You got to stop Luka, and he's still doing it to him.
Yeah, it's impossible because all 5 offensive players are in play when he attacks. He's got the ball at the top of the key. It's not a 2-man game.
No,
it's a 5-man game. He's like, just anybody turn your back for a second, and bam. It's going to be a layup.
Somebody had a tweet out that said that LeBron is the best point guard in the league because he's 6'8" and can see the floor. And I just started grinning because Luka's 6'7" and he can see the floor.
Oh, yeah. Can't see he's, quite as much. He's not it's shorter.
Yeah, it's shorter. It's holding him back. But he's got the same kind of it. Now, LeBron's got the knowledge and the experience, but Luka's got this it thing where he can see the floor, he can make the plays, and he's very confident because he's won titles before overseas. He's comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I think you might be talking about the two best point guards in the NBA right there in that discussion.
That's that Magic Johnson thing. He was like a tall point guard. Oh, yeah, Penny Hardaway had it as well. Yeah. I know that.
R.I.P. Penny. Whoa, that was going to be so good.
Whoa, he's shining over there in Memphis right now.
It was going to be so good.
He's shining in Memphis.
Hell of a coach.
It's going to be so good.
Lucius might be one of the top Penny stands remaining out there,
Absolutely.
Though.
Absolutely. I buy the shoes and don't even wear them. I just stack them up in my closet.
Till he got hurt, man.
I got a shrine for that man.
Even Shaq said, if I had never left, we would have won it all, man.
He was a top three player there for that period of time where he was healthy. Okay, Stephen Jones is coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation, so stand by. We'll be talking Cowboys football with Stephen next here on The Fan. Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We are standing by for our weekly conversation with Cowboys COO Stephen Jones right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. He'll be ringing in any second. Good matchup for Sunday night, 7:15. Our pregame will start at 4 o'clock, and it's going to be amazing with Ari Temkin and RJ Choppy. You gonna have the post game again, Jeff?
Yes, I am.
Aren't you doing both?
No, tomorrow or Sunday.
Yeah, post game night.
Yeah, just post game. I think RJ's still in pregame, and you're gonna have the locker room, aren't you, Chris?
Yeah, I've got the rare Tyron Smith interview.
Okay,
pregame already taped, and then after the game, you know, we see what happens. All the different guys.
It's always good to talk to Tyron. Can you give us a little bit of a preview here? Just a second. Segment's brought to you by Exergen, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call Frankel and Frankel, 214-333-3333. Official lawyers of the Tolo Principal Office, Dallas, Texas. I think he's one of the players that fans are most interested in right now, so that's a great get.
Yeah, everybody in the media knows Tyron's a great guy. He just doesn't really like to talk, and he's really nice about not wanting to talk. But, you know, I talked him into it. And we got into this is how this surgical interview went. I buttered him up by talking about that black cat and then how the black cat's got a how the tank wants to give him a chain.
Yeah.
Then we went from there talking about his health.
Oh, the T-shirt sold out, by the way.
Oh, you heard, man. Yeah. It takes marketing, man. He's branding. But yeah, we talked about the black cat first. Then we started talking about the offense and his health, how he's feeling, and the Minnesota front seven and how tough they are.
Yeah, that, you know, the health thing, him maybe having a little bit of an issue with the penalties and giving up a few more pressures. But overall, Jeff, you've been watching Tyron pretty close, and he's still holding it down as one of the best tackles in the NFL.
Oh, right? Yeah, I think he's still really good. He's he is one of my, when we get to what's on 105.3thefan.com, he is one of my five matchups to determine the winner of this football game, him versus Everson Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going monster versus monster with that one.
Okay, I'm very much looking forward to that preview then. You know, another thing I'm looking forward to unfold here in the next couple of weeks, 2 months, next eight games is, you know, to what extent do Xavier Woods and Jordan Lewis transform the back end? Multiple takeaways for both of them now. You know, Jeff, you told us heading into the drafts where these guys were available that they were guys with good ball skills that, you know, actually turned and found the ball and now that thing is coming into fruition right at the time you add a third pass rusher.
Those will work together pretty well, I'd imagine. Get a little extra push on the quarterback, maybe some bad throws off a back foot.
I mean,
finally have two guys who are ready to take advantage of it.
So, you know, we've been complaining about the defense, and I think it's been a legitimate reason for complaining. And they haven't made a big deal out of it, but my thought would be that incrementally here over the last month, we've seen things fall into place with Sean Lee getting more playing time, Xavier Woods maybe hitting that point in the game where he's like, okay, now I'm ready to go be a little bit more aggressive. The Anthony Brown injury opens it for Jordan Lewis. And the next thing you know, like 25% of your defense, you've gotten a facelift. You know, you've gotten and just one trade.
And the results are, beyond the Michael Bennett trade, because they also beat Philadelphia looking really good on defense, they've been forcing turnovers now. Things are happening. Now, the odd thing is they didn't force turnovers, and this goes back to Jeff's theory, which is there's no rhyme or reason to turnovers. They either get them a lot or you don't. There's no really formula to this thing. The last couple of years, they don't get turnovers. In the preseason, they led the NFL with takeaways with 11. Then the drought. Then the last two games, I think, I could be wrong on this, I think they've got 7 takeaways. Wow. 7.
Wow, that's nice. Yeah, I think it's 7 over the last 2 after only having 3 over the previous 2 games.
That's it.
Which now puts them 11th in the league at takeaways.
All right.
You're not one of the worst in football. Hey, you're almost
saying, Jeff,
in the top 10.
There's no rhyme or reason?
Well, there are. I mean, there's such a thing as guys who force turnovers. There's guys who year in and year out do it. But for on a team-wide basis, it goes up and down year to year. It gets pretty wild on you. But, yeah, there are guys who are going to help you get turnovers. And I think, like, Byron Jones is not going to get turnovers. He can't catch. It's not going to happen.
Nope.
But there are other guys who in that position will get you turnovers. I bet it goes up and down so much because a lot of it is just based on, are you winning? And then do you have, now can you get pressure? Because when you're winning and you get to rush the passer all the time, they make a bad decision. Hey, thanks. It's great. This is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, game flow, always a big key for how things develop as we're standing by for Stephen Jones here in the G-Bag Nation. It's the return of Mike Zimmer on Sunday night, the former Cowboys defensive assistant and defensive coordinator. But here he is now, Stephen Jones, with us for his weekly conversation on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How you doing?
Hey, doing well and getting ready for our big game against the Vikings on Sunday.
Yes, sir, and it is a big one, and there's a lot of really interesting football things to ask you about with this game. But I just got to know, is there any team plans to incorporate the cat either in person or in feline or either on the video board or something? Are we going to be having fun and doing skits with the black cats?
Well, it sounds like Jerry's got personal relationship with the cat, so you probably, I don't know if you've had a chance to visit with him, but he said he made eye contact with that cat from the box, and they kind of got on the same page as to what needed to be done, and it sure worked out for the Cowboys, so we're big fans of the black cat.
Yeah, it was an exceptional storyline, and it's been a lot of fun. He was terrific again this morning with KNC Masterpiece. So, okay, do you feel like the team's righted the ship here from the 3-game losing streak?
Well, it's, you know, nothing's ever righted. It's one game at a time. And, you know, I think we're learning a lot about this team. I thought it was, you know, really impressive. We all want to start fast. We all want to, you know, convert drives into touchdowns. But, you know, as I said earlier in the year, at some point you got to be able to overcome some adversity and maybe not start fast and maybe get behind and be able to overcome that. And I thought our guys did a great job of doing that and showed something that they hadn't shown all year is to be able to make a comeback there at the end of the first half and then take the lead and be able to hold it and then finish strong. So that was impressive to me. Obviously, the schedule is going to get much harder as we move into this Vikings game. And, you know, we've got to go out and get some good quality wins here. And it's got to be one game at a time. Mike Zimmer's a hell of a defensive coordinator, has a great defensive philosophy, defensive mind, and, you know, took that and now is the head coach of the Vikings. And we know him well, know what a competitor he is, and he is going to be a handful for us because I know he's probably got a little personal thought in his mind and competitiveness that he'd nothing more he'd love than to beat the Cowboys in AT&T Stadium. So he's got a very well-coached team, and we're going to have our hands full.
What was that like? Is he still bent out of shape from the mid-2000s when he was a candidate to get the Cowboys head coaching job, but he didn't end up with it?
No, he's always been a very close personal friend, and I'm sure there's a part of him that feels like, hey, if I'd have gotten that job, I would have, you know, the old proverbial taken the ball and run with it and had a tremendous amount of success. But, you know, Mike's just been a great friend of Jerry and I's throughout the years, and we followed him and his success and you know, have done nothing but admire him in terms of what he's been able to accomplish in the NFL. And we're still very good friends with him. And, you know, other than when we're playing him here this Sunday night, we, you know, we're always got a soft spot and rooting for Mike.
They've got a really good roster, not a lot of glaring weaknesses with the Vikings. So what part, as you go into this game, what part of their team does it become the most important to either stop or limit from beating you?
Well, you know, you take each side of the ball. I think obviously to start with, you know, they got the number one rusher in the NFL. He does a lot of things well. We've got to stop the run. I think anytime, as we know so well, if you can start off running the ball well, then everything else seems to work well too. So it's going to be paramount that we get off to a good start, stopping Dalvin Cook, and see if we can, you know, put more pressure on Cousins to win the game. And then, of course, we were very pleased with the addition of Michael Bennett and what he brought to the front, and the pressure we were able to get. And then, of course, the back end were able to make some plays. So, you know, that's huge, you know, when we're going against their offense. And then, you know, defensively, they're stout. I mean, it's going to be a big challenge for Dak and Zeke and our offensive group to get off to a fast start. And I know that's what we want, but they're one of the better defenses in the NFL. They play the run well. They pressure well. You know, we've just got our work cut out for us. But great news is it's at AT&T Stadium. Our home crowd has been amazing all year, and I expect to see the same thing there Sunday night.
Hey, Steven, speaking of defense, you guys have a good problem to have, which is Sean Lee's been making some plays the last couple of weeks. Leighton Vander Esch looks like he's about ready to come back on Sunday. How will you guys figure out how to get both of them in there? And also, props to you for working out a deal to bring Sean back, because I understand he had to take a pay cut to come back, and he was glad to do it.
Well, Sean came to us, and he wanted to play, and we didn't even ask. He just said, look, I want to adjust. You know, I've missed a lot, and I know, you know, you've got these two young guys that are going to need to be on the field, and I think I can help, and that's exactly what he's done. And you just can't have enough good linebackers in this game. There's going to be plenty of reps to go around. Joe Thomas figures right in that mix as well. Yeah. He's been playing really, really good football for us. And, you know, you're just fortunate to have four really starting caliber linebackers like that. And it's a great asset for our defense. I know between Rod and Chris and Ben Bloom, they're going to figure out how to get the most out of them and keep them fresh. And as I said, we're going to need it. This Dalvin Cook's a handful. And, you know, we're going to need everybody running to the ball, playing their gaps. And like I said, I think if we can stop this run early then and slow it down then and put some more pressure on Cousins to win the game for him, then that's going to help us have a better opportunity to win the game.
I saw one grading service had Sean Lee as the best linebacker in Week 9 in the NFL. Is there a chance that even at his age he's still y'all's best linebacker?
Oh, there's no question. He's in the mix. I mean, I think, like I said, all four of them are playing at very high levels, and Sean always has. Sean's biggest issue has just been staying healthy, and I think we still want to continue to manage him and make sure that, you know, he's available throughout the season and hopefully into the playoffs and deep into the playoffs. So it's just a great thing to have in terms of the depth we have there at the linebacker position. And, you know, these guys are all team players and they all cheer for one another. And I think they'll be able to work that out just fine.
The Vikings aren't going to have Adam Thielen this weekend. How much does that affect how your coaching staff gets ready to defend the Vikings? Is it more we kind of do what we do, or does that affect the way you do things?
Well, they obviously, Thielen's a great receiver for them, and you know, anytime you're missing a great player, you don't say a lot about it, because everybody has those issues in this league where they miss players for game or games, and you know, they've got good depth, and you know, we've got to be ready for all things. So you know, certainly I know they would like to have a great player like Thielen, but at the same time, I know that, you know, they're like everybody else. It's next man up, and we've got to be able to defend them, whether it's Thielen or the next guy.
Hey, Steven, I want to ask you the question that we ask you every year. I'm going to qualify by saying that the fans know that the Vikings are 0-3 in open stadiums. So the question everybody wants to know once again is, how do you decide whether you're going to open the roof up or not, and what are the chances for this Sunday?
Well, it's something that we'll make it a big surprise for Mike and the Vikings. I think that'll be good for them to think about. But knowing Mike, he doesn't let little things like that bother him. And we will obviously make that decision at game time. I mean, you know, one of the reasons we have this, you know, is for fan comfort. And I'm sure at some point, if we really felt like it was going to be a huge competitive advantage to use in some way, then we would certainly take that into consideration. But, you know, first and foremost, we have those roof and doors, you know, for our fans to enjoy. Obviously, our neighbors right next door, the Rangers, are building retractable stadiums so that they can bring comfort to their fans. And, you know, that's important to us. But at the same time, we do keep in the back of our mind how, you know, just where the competitive advantage lies and how, you know, how big of an advantage that is.
Steven, Jordan Lewis on defense, every time he plays, he seems to be some sort of a ball magnet. Would it be fair to say that at this point, even if you guys are at full strength, that he's a starter?
Well, he's just, you know, it's kind of like the linebackers we're talking about. We're so, excuse me, sorry about that.
No worries.
But at some point, you know, it's like the linebackers we're talking about. We're so fortunate to have all four of those guys with A.B. and Jordan Lewis and Jadobe and Byron Jones. It's just great to have the numbers like that. But as you mentioned, you know, Jordan never has never quit competing. And when he does get his chances, he goes in there and he makes plays. And he's the hot hand right now. And I think he's playing a little more than AB. But, you know, like I said, it's like having those four linebackers over there. We're so fortunate to have that depth at the cornerback spot.
Speaking of starters, you got a new starting quarterback at Arkansas. My question is, are you going down to see him play in those cowbells down in Mississippi State?
Well, absolutely. And unfortunately, with cowbells got us. But we're actually going to Fayetteville.
That's right.
We're playing Western Kentucky. But Dak and his cowbells got us.
That's right.
Last week. But this is John Stephens' first start. He's started the second half of the last two games, but he got the nod this week. And of course, not only am I going to be there, but most of the family will be there, and it'll be a really special day for us, but most importantly for him. And certainly it's senior day up there. It's their last home game in Fayetteville, and there's nothing he'd like more than to help be a part of a victory and bring a win home for the Razorbacks on the seniors' last game up at Razorback Stadium.
Now, would it be an NCAA violation if John Kitna and Kellen Moore were FaceTiming him to give him tips before the game? Is that a violation?
Well, I don't know, but I'd sure try it if it were legal. But I'm sure what John Stephen wants from me is just to be a good father and don't interfere with anything. He's got this, so. He's done a good job whenever he's gotten opportunities of making the most out of it, whether it be high school or college or going all the way back to when he was really young. But obviously we're so fired up for him, and hopefully he'll have a big day tomorrow.
Good luck up there,
man. All right. Yeah, best of luck over there, and then back home Sunday night. Give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Thanks a lot, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
Steven Jones with us on 105.3 The Fan. Wow, that's got to be an amazing weekend. Going over to Fayetteville to watch some college football with your son starting.
Yep. It's Western Kentucky. Got a chance for a W.
For real.
Yes. A little extra bonus there.
Success. Go out there, throw for 300 maybe. Uh-huh. You know, why not?
Hey, and if you can't get Kitna and Kellen, Tony Romo. That's who's been coaching.
Tony's
on the side
busy.
Anyway.
He's golfing. He's
the time. There's a lot of golf going on these days. We do have time for a little G bag of the day right here on a football Friday. Let's do it right here, right now, as we go into the Pimp Cup. Lucius Alexander standing
you,
by.
I love you, Mr. Jones.
With a champion.
Let's see. What is that? Ken Carmine?
Yeah.
Ken Carmine from Cleveland. Cleveland on the Fan, losing his mind.
Funny. I said what I said. And it's my freaking fault for having any faith whatsoever in you. I should never, ever do it again. I should never have faith ever again. I should line up and be like the predecessors before me and be nasty and mean-spirited and angry over the entire thing every single time we wish out one of these quarterbacks that will hopefully take us from the hell that we have created for ourselves throughout this entire time and have us have this happen yet again. Mm. More saviors, more societies, the same damn actions, the same thing. Oh. The emperor no longer has clothes.
Really good book.
And I am a shell of myself. Today's a day where things change. I'm gonna lay here and I'm gonna take it. If you got something to yell at the Browns, you yell at them. You got something to yell at Baker Mayfield or John or Freddie Kitchens, you go ahead and let it off your chest. If you got something to say to me, you go ahead and say it. because I made a guarantee that I'm personally responsible for. I have let myself down. I have let you down. I have let everybody down. So for the next 3 hours and 40 minutes, you got something to say to me, you go right on ahead. You will not get anything back from me. I got it coming to me because I'm a damn fool for having any faith whatsoever in this train wreck. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Damn fool.
Yeah, I feel like it could be a damn fool. Again, the first half of the season, rough. Second half, I'm going to go ahead and have faith, okay? I'm throwing caution to the wind. I've been saying for 2 weeks I need them to get through the Vikings and the Lions in order to get my faith back.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't stand it any longer. I couldn't stand being doubtful of this team. I think they're deserving of it. They're good enough. We should hold them to that standard and expectation.
I'm not going to go that far.
Don't do that.
I almost want them to lose just to see your rant. I want to see you full
Carmine. Yeah, we don't want that. We do not want that. We would much prefer the January playoff ratings.
We'll take the W.
That's ideal. Okay, who's challenging this three-time champion today, Lucius?
Shaq joined the TNT cast again. He came back last night. And he also gassed up Charles Barkley to start talking about the San Antonio women.
Let's again, do it again.
Y'all. How about that?
Charles, I'm disappointed at you. Last week, you were talking about San Antonio, and I was so down. I need you to say it, and you never said it.
Oh, wait.
You never said it. You never said it.
Wait, listen.
No, you never Ernie said has, it. I even sent Kenny a text.
What are you bringing me into this for? What did I do?
Make him say it.
Like, Shaq wanted me to talk about all them big old women in San Antonio. Oh, they got some big ones down there. Eating them churros like this. I'm telling you. They be eating them churros.
What are they doing with the churros, Chuck?
Hey, Shaq.
Look, Charles was doing his hand. Get the salt shaker in your hands, y'all.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Like the shake weight?
Yeah. You open up your mouth a little bit, and you put the salt and salt on your
nose. He just went one hand, though? He didn't go full two hands?
No, he went one hand. He was being respectful.
Okay.
Hey, Chuck, remember they started a diet down there?
Do it slower, Chuck. Do it slower.
Slim slow.
That's what you miss the most about being.
Hey, do it slower, Chuck. Hey, Victoria's the Secret down there. That's how they came with that name. They got them big-ass bloomers down in San Antonio. They can't get in cute little tiny underwear.
Great stuff. One of the good bits. Where had Shaq been, though? He said he came back?
His sister passed away.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Grieving a little
so
bit.
So he needed that laugh from Chuck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Needed it.
Early passing requires mourning and then some. Okay. And one more challenger. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess so, man. How about it? Okay. Gucci Mane. Uh-huh. Gucci Mane was on the Jimmy Fallon show last night. Jimmy Fallon show is in Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrated some Texas stuff, right? So Jimmy had a Gucci Mane. Wrapped the trap version of Eyes of Texas.
Okay.
Here with the trap version of the Eyes of Texas.
Let's get it.
For lunch, a half a million for breakfast. Everything big in Texas, that's why I brought this necklace. Young, flashy, and rich. The Texas girls call me sexy. I'm so handsome and healthy. The Gucci brand started investing. East Atlanta, my brethren. 2017, I was born. I'm in Texas, no flexing. My money long like the horn. Like a tiller, the horn. The underdog, but I won. I made a crown out of thorns. In the truck, I'm LeBron. I'm Gucci.
I like it.
Yeah, Gucci Man's pretty cool.
Gucci up on you.
Okay, is it the three-time champ, Ken Carmine? Ken Carmine out of Cleveland. Is it Shaq or is it Gucci Mane? Lucius, you can have the first vote today. You'd like it.
I'm a Robert Carmine. I like that Gucci, though.
CA.
I
rob
a Gucci.
You know I have no love for Lucius's school, the UT Longhorns.
Come on, fam.
But that's a good trap rap, but I'm going with the champ.
Ken Carmine, it's 2-0, Jeff.
I am going to vote for Lucius's uncle, Charles Barkley.
Okay. By a score.
Uncle Charles, y'all.
I know.
Of 2-1, I'm going Gucci. Cleveland's Ken Carmine is the victor, and he'll be going for 5 on Monday during a Cowboys Monday. We're coming back, and we're going to chat with the former Mavs and Knicks point guard, Derek Harper. He'll join us and preview tonight's game here on The Fan.
Dallas Truck World just got in a G-Wagon, a Range Rover, and a Porsche 911. Check out that whole inventory at DallasTruckWorld.com.
Okay, Mavs host the Knicks tonight at 7:30. Former Mavs and Knicks point guard, TV analyst on Fox Sports Southwest with Mark Folliwell. Derek Harper joining us on DFW Sports Station. Thanks to CA hooking it up. and a good afternoon. Derek, how you doing?
What's up, Harp?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
Doing outstanding, thanks. So, yeah, let's just, you know, start with big picture at 5-2, first year with this roster. It's a lot of fun. How many games need to pass for you to get a really good feeling on, you know, can this team be that kind of a winning percentage club?
You know, I've seen enough. I was at training camp watching these guys get themselves ready for the 2019-2020 season. And the one thing that stuck out to me is, one, how deep they were as a team, a lot of depth on this team. And the other thing that I think they addressed as the season came to a close last year, I thought the one thing they needed to do was be better at shooting, a better shooting team. And they added Seth Curry. Obviously, Porzingis can shoot the basketball. But they just have a lot of guys that can make shots and just really know how to play. So I think they're a playoff team, regardless to what happened with New Orleans and regardless to our Golden State situation. I thought they were going to get in right away, personally.
They do look like a playoff team. And Harp, can you talk about Luka Doncic playing so well right now? The new conversation and in NBA circles, or is this guy is possibly an MVP candidate? Would you go that far?
I would go that far. And if he doesn't win it this year, he's going to win it eventually because the guy's talented, man. I mean, he's the epitome of versatility is what Luka, what it boils down to when you start talking about him. There's not anything on the floor offensively he can't do. He dribbles a lot. Now, his usage rate is high, but I think they want it that way for now anyway because his decision-making is good. I mean, you're talking 26, 9, and 9, close to 10 assists a game. So that speaks for itself. I mean, just a tremendous talent. I talked about the versatility, and I think he's starting to understand that he doesn't have to shoot threes all the time. You know, I mean, Luka can get downhill, get in the lane, and be a bigger threat than the step back three. And I know guys, they like to shoot those threes. Those threes look good. But when they're not going in, man, I see him dominating with his back to the basket. Nobody can do anything with him. He's too big as a point guard.
So, Harp, I know as a guy who played a lot in the NBA, you probably have a lot of respect for the guys who have done it over and over again, but we have pretty much universally said Luka today is a top 10 NBA player. Where are you with that?
He's top 10. Show me 10 guys or 9 guys, because he's the 10th guy, that's better. And you can argue, you can make the argument of, with a lot of guys. I said the other night that I thought he was. And, you know, like when you start talking to LeBron, you start talking about Harden, and you start talking about Seth and all these different people, the thing for them is that they're moving past their prime. And I'm not saying that Harden is not great and not still in his prime, but Luka's just 20 years old, man. But pound for pound, he gave Kawhi Leonard last year a triple-double, with a 30-point triple-double. So when you start talking about the best players, Luka is, I think, 8-9 in the league when it comes to production. I'm not talking about, you know, numbers per se. I'm not talking about the way he does it. I'm just talking period, man, just producing-wise. This guy's top 10. There's no doubt about it because he does it night in and night out.
Harp, we ever talked about this team is a work in progress. They got a nice record. They got some stars on this team. I'm trying to find flaws in it, and there are flaws in the making, but there's one I've noticed, and that's free throws. Are there anything else that you've noticed that they need to get better at as they grow this year?
I think they need to be better defensively. And free throws, obviously, that's something you can correct just by coming early, staying late. But defensively is where they're going to have to improve to me because you watched the Orlando game the other night and Orlando got too many easy baskets. They were the worst defensive scoring team coming into the game the other night. And I just thought Dallas made it a little bit easy on them by giving up a lot of easy baskets. Transition defense, they got to get better in those areas. But all in all, it's a solid team. And being so deep, man, is really going to cause problems for teams. Because that's where you have your – a lot of teams have problems, which is when they go to their bench. Dallas has top three, top four bench in the league, and it's a small sample size because it's just 7-8 games. However, when you bring a guy like DeLon Wright off your bench, Justin Jackson off your bench, J.J. Barea, Jalen Brunson, I mean, these guys have played a lot of quality minutes, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think the sky's the limit for this basketball team. I told Donnie the other day at Dirk's street deal, they put together a really, really nice team. This team fits together. You look at the Nuggets, a lot of depth, a lot of talent on their team, but I don't know if it fits as well as the Mavericks' talent fits together. And when you have a lot of depth, guys have to sacrifice. I think they have the right kind of guys that'll do that, and it'll make them a dangerous team come playoff time.
It's Derek Harper with us on the Fan. Porzingis is putting up 19-8, but I was reading in the New York papers, he's talking about being disappointed and frustrated so far. What do you see?
I see him trying to find his way. I mean, I'm going to tell you straight up, and I got traded to New York in 94, and I went through the same kind of struggles because I think, one, he's showing too much respect to everybody else. You got to go get it. And I just think that he's trying to learn his spots on the floor, not getting the same looks that he got in New York. He'll be fine. The guy hadn't played in almost 2 years. So it's going to take some time for him to get that real rhythm. You know, the NBA doesn't wait on anybody. It passes you by when you're out, okay? He has to find his place again. And like I said, Luka handles the basketball a lot. Luka's a willing passer. He's gonna find him. And the nice thing for KP is to operate a little bit more in the paint. I mean, if you look at his shots, you know, taking 3, 4, 5, 6 threes a night, that's just not gonna get it done. Because you can't rely on that. Not many guys can rely on just, well, that's your Dirk. You know, Reggie Miller, these kind of guys can knock down the shots all the time. He needs to find a different way to score, in my opinion, by operating on the block a little bit. Mid-range game is a forgotten game, obviously, in the league nowadays. But he's going to be fine.
Hey, Harp, you mentioned
I just think it's a matter of time for KP.
You mentioned those days back in New York when you were with the Knicks. You and Patrick Ewing and John Starks led them to the NBA Finals. It went seven games against the Rockets. If you guys had won, you would have been the MVP. So, of course, I'm going to say you don't want to say it. You are beloved in New York. Not every player who played for the Knicks is beloved in New York. You are the one of the few. How do you think his relationship, we're talking about Porzingis, and the New York media and the fact that he got out of there is going down?
Well, New York is the Mecca because, you know, we all know that. That's the Mecca of basketball, so to speak. And they go by the mantra of once a Knick, always a Knick. So I don't think KP's going to have a lot of problems. And I can tell you this. I hope he doesn't try to do too much. You understand what I'm saying? Because a lot of times you want to prove against your old team, not many of those guys on the roster that he played with, but you want to play – you want to try so hard until you have problems. You put a little unneeded stress on your game. I just hope he goes out there and play. I think you have to like the guy's personality. He's a young kid. He's made a few mistakes here and there. But, you know, if I'm him, man, I just go out and do what I have to do.
All right.
Let the chips fall where they may, Chris.
I hear you. Make sure you say that to him tonight. And I will see you out on the court in a couple of hours.
Look forward to it.
Thanks again, Harp.
You got it. Anytime, Chris.
There he goes, Derek Harper, Fox Sports Southwest color analyst tonight on the call at 7:30.
Dropping that knowledge.
Jerry gave a big vote of confidence to the man in the middle of the defense. Will he be back, and what happens to that rotation? It's next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.